Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
As we have noticed, yet I'm trying to derail the stock market, but on a more serious note, we have obviously the Republican convention this week, and but this war on police, this violence against police has got to stop. This whole crusade of what matters and what doesn't matter is ridiculous. The police always matter, and you know, if we are going to continue to allow the police to be killed at this rate, we are making one hell of a mistake with our leadership. Of course, our leadership is sorely lacking, as we can see through all of the things that have happened in the last 8 years that basically have gone unpunished, untouched, and left alone. And of course, we do get the condolences and we get all the other BS, but it looks to me, and somebody said this to me, that the leader doesn't even care about America. And you know, it's hard to be an American and not love the country. You may not love everything that goes on in this country, but we are the greatest place in the world. We are the nation that people strive to come to, and we have to do something to take care of our own and to take care of this country, because we cannot continue to let the thugs take over the world. I mean, this is becoming a very, very serious epidemic with the Dallas shooting, with the Baton Rouge, with the Daytona Beach car bombing, not car bombing, but car fire. You know, it has to be handled, and it has to be handled from the top down. And I'm afraid what might happen, you know, this week at the Republican convention. And I remember 1968 in Chicago, the Chicago convention. I think that was the Democratic convention. But it was brutal. And unfortunately, when you continue to make poor people, when you continue to take opportunity away from people, when you create this environment, and of course, if you've been looking at the news, you can see that now ISIS is going after Black Lives Matter and saying, hey, why don't you come and join Islam? Okay. And, you know, this has been my contention all along, is that this country is ready to revolt. The world is ready to revolt, because you have seen the financial part of it. Now, you know, you may say money doesn't buy everything, and you know, you can live on happiness. Well, you know, let's clear the air about that. You know, you may not have to be rich, but money does buy life. And you know, you don't have to be, you know, the most, but you have to have enough to eat. And when you can't eat, when you can't survive, when you can't take your family, that will lead you to do things that you never thought you could possibly do. And in my opinion, that's kind of what we're seeing in this entire internal revolt with what's going on against the police department. Now, why would you go against the police department, the very people that save your lives, that put their lives out for you every day. Now, I understand, yes, there are always some bad policemen. There's some bad everything, okay? But you cannot hold innocent people at bay and kill them because there's a few bad eggs in the barrel. I mean, is there anywhere that you know of that there isn't a few bad people? Okay. I can't think of one place that everybody that I know that goes to any one place that I like, whether it be your own country club that you're a member of, if you are, the gym. I can say honestly that wherever you go, wherever you work, you may not like some of the people there. You may not like who they are and what they do. But at the end of the day, okay, you don't kill them, okay? But yet, innocent family men, fathers, mothers, you know, sons, are getting killed for no reason. And yet, our president does not, they're more worried about gun control than they're worried about the act of what's going on and the way that violence is escalating. Now, I don't know about you, but it certainly scares the crap out of me that we continue to allow this violence to go on and watch without worry that it can't get worse, because it's getting worse by the day. We're getting more and more problems day by day. And as this economy continues to crumble, okay, as the Fed and the central banks continue to not do the right thing and not put people back to work, but allow companies to accumulate more money, this problem is going to get worse. This problem is going to be at epidemic proportions soon. And that means that nobody's going to be safe. That means that you're going to see an overall rush on, you know, bad things happening to, you know, like I said, that you can't say they're all good, but, you know, they are the people, the line of defense that is out there every day, okay, with their job, and their job every day has risk. Do we think that we could live without having, you know, an authority that has the power to do something? And I think that you're making a mistake if you believe it. Now, I know we've all said, you know, where's a cop when you need one and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, okay, look at how they threw their lives in front of innocent victims that they didn't even know. Okay, look at what happens out there with our police forces around the country, that these guys go out every day and do their job. You know, policemen, firemen, I mean, you know, they're underpaid, overworked. And, you know, would you risk your life yourself for somebody else that you didn't even know? And I think that becomes the bigger question, is where is the leadership? Who is going to step up and take care of us? Who's going to take care of it so we can eliminate the problems that we're seeing? And unfortunately, I don't see it. And unfortunately, I think it's a sad, sad state of affairs when we cannot get our leaders, who live under a separate set of laws, okay, and have their own bodyguards, you know, but to take care of us. And to me, that's a very big issue, and it needs to be stopped. It needs to be corrected. And we need somebody to step up and do the right thing. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz and, you know, my little editorials. But if you miss an episode, you miss a show, libertytalk.fm is where you'll find it. You'll also find The Sporting Edge there. Make sure that you check out BubbaTrading.com. We do a lot of nice writing, write a lot of articles. But for now, I'm going to stop out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. It is Todd Bubba Horowitz on this glorious Tuesday, but sad Tuesday, because again, we've got too many issues which we talked about. But you know, as we get back down to business, you know, what are we seeing in the world of business? Okay, what we're seeing is more and more mergers, acquisitions. In other words, we're seeing the shrinking of America, of American business. We are seeing the shrinking of the American entrepreneur. Now, I don't know about you, but entrepreneurs are the backbone of this country. Entrepreneurs are the ones that make this country great. You know, and, you know, Apple started out by an entrepreneur. Microsoft started out by an entrepreneur. You know, not everybody's born into wealth. And I think that, you know, now when you watch and you continue to see what the destruction of, you know, what the government is doing here, it goes back into, are they trying to turn the entire economy, the entire United States, into socialists? Because you can see that we continue to see the shrinking of companies. Now, I remember back in the day that they didn't have, for example, in the state of Illinois, you could not have branch banking. Okay. There was one, you know, if you banked at, you know, First National Bank, we'll say, there was one. If you wanted to bank there, you had to drive there to make your deposit. Okay, they didn't have 72 branches. Now, for example, Chase has 72 branches. You know, I mean, in a 3-mile radius from my house, there's about 7 Chase branches. So are we making the mistake of becoming a too-big-to-fail nation pretty much across the board? Is the elimination of all these companies, okay, and all these small businesses worth it, worth what's going on? Okay, I think the answer is no. I think, you know, I have no problem with a Walmart, I mean, that's trying to take over the world. And of course, Walmart ruins more lives than anybody, because, you know, they don't need vendors, but the reason that they take vendors is because what they're really doing is they're borrowing money at no interest. Okay, I mean, you know, they're letting you work with them for a couple of years and make very little money. You become your only customer becomes Walmart, because they're so demanding and they're so big. And then after they don't need you anymore, they say, okay, goodbye, and they go produce the product themselves. So, you know, you've got, you know, basically the world comes down to, you know, 6 or 7 banks. I think that's a mistake. It comes down to 3 or 4 retailers. I think that's a mistake. And that's it. Okay, so eventually we'll all be working for the banks, Walmart, Amazon, and that'll be it. Is that the way that we should allow business to move on? But this is what happens when you steal away the opportunity from little guys to borrow money. When you steal away the opportunity for the little guy to go out and build a business at a fair price. Because, yes, you can now borrow money from a lot of these, what they call peer-to-peer lenders, okay, which is the Cabbages and the Prospers and those. But you're paying, you don't even have a competitive rate. So if you take, you know, let's say, obviously you're not Apple, I'm not Apple, but you take what Apple pays to borrow money, if they borrow, versus what you and I pay to borrow money, and then you put it in percentage of the overall business, and we're paying usury rates. And if you try to live on usury rates, okay, you can't, which has been proven time and time again. That goes back to the old credit card theory. Okay, you know, when you overborrow on your credit card and you're paying off over time, okay, you can never pay it off because the interest rates are so high. Well, you can't compete when your cost of product is going to be more. So if me and Apple both manufacture the exact same product, well, they're going to be able to do it for a hell of a lot cheaper. A, they're going to be able to make more quantity, which is fine. But forget about the quantity portion, because I could work on less of a margin if I could compete. However, my cost of money is going to be so much higher than theirs. My cost of employees is going to be so much higher than theirs. So my overall cost in comparison is much higher than theirs. So how can I possibly compete? And that has been enabled by the low interest rate environment, which then enables it to the Federal Reserve. Now, I want to know why we can't let people that can't make it in business go broke. Nobody is out there defending the little guy, you know, the guy who's got one or two plants or whatever trying to build a business. They aren't too big to fail. They don't get the government bailout. They don't get the cheap money benefit. They manage to get screwed and have to end up going to bankruptcy court. So where is, again, the competitive balance, the equitable ability for all men to be created equal, okay, and where we all have the same chance? Now, again, I understand parts of it. I have no problem that, you know, Apple is bigger and they should get some special perks, but they shouldn't get them all. They should not be able to dry up competition. In this country, we're so worried about monopolies that a lot of these merger deals don't go through, but yet, what do we have? We have a bunch of monopolies. So do you think that that is fair and equitable? Okay. I happen to think not. I happen to think that, you know, we have turned this into the David and Goliath situation. I think that for the most part, they have ruined the economy from their policy, not from anything else, but from the way that they handle things. And they allow this to continue and continue and allow big companies to continue to buy back their stock with cheap money, now eliminating the shareholders. Okay. And if you look at it, you know, where is competition? You know, true competition creates true markets, true price discovery. And when you take away all these things, you know, you eliminate that. Now, we've had for years, you know, there's been many companies that have gone under investigation for, you know, price fixing. And you don't think we're getting something near that now? What is going to happen when there is no more competition and there is nobody to go out and buy that, you know, cheaper good from? Okay, well, the prices are going to go up. You know, it's no different than the gas stations. I mean, basically, all gas stations in a certain area are always the same price, approximately, give or take. Okay, so they continue to hold up price together. They continue to we won't call it price fixing, but it is price fixing, because they know that we're going to use it. You know, I might get a tank of gas today. I mean, if you're out of gas, you got to get gas. And where are we going to see the ability to bring in competition to keep prices fair? That is a problem. And this is where, again, it comes back to policies in which we work under and what we do that don't allow a fair market. Okay. So the market itself of buying and selling goods is not fair, because it's been made unfair, allowing the big to get bigger and stomp on the little guy. I mean, look at what Amazon's done. Look at how many places Amazon has put out of business with their model. Now, again, I don't have a problem with somebody dominating a market, but I do have a problem when it's an unfair battle. And that is something that I think is really, really bad, is the unfair battle in which we're seeing. We're going to talk more about this when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. When you miss an episode of The Bubba Show or The Sporting Edge, make sure you go to libertytalk.fm. And again, we've got full 24-hour program there. So make sure you check it out, as well as check out bubbatrading.com and see some of the great products that we're offering. We love having you there. We love having you pay a visit, and we love having you right here. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out of here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
On. So as we went to break, we were talking about, you know, fair and equitable practices. And, you know, I don't see the fair and equitable. And to me, the definition of a free market is where everybody has an equal opportunity. And those who can be better are better. But those who were better were not made better by a monetary policy. And I think that really bothers me more than anything else. But I don't know if it bothers me more than the other issues in this country that Al Sharpton spends a lot of time at the White House when I don't know the exact number, but I believe he owes, let's say, $1 million in taxes. He is the biggest racist pot stirrer looking to see this violence. And, you know, that to me is a problem as well. I mean, can we not, am I the only one who sees that? Does it not make sense that we need to, you know, why is he above the law? Oh, because he's buddies with Obama? Okay. You know, Jesse Jackson, why is he above the law? You know, because he's, you know, friends with Obama? I don't know. I think that these, again, all these things together create tension and create problems when, if you just use the proper laws and the proper business model, okay, and you let markets price themselves, what do you end up with? You end up with a free market, okay? You end up with what our founding fathers fought for 240 years ago. You wind up with a free society, okay? And right now, I feel far from being free. When I'm being rammed to my face, two candidates for president, okay, that, you know, nobody likes. Like the markets right now, this will be the most hated election in history. But where does it stop, and how does it stop? And when does the United States of America say, hey, it's time. It's time to do something different. What we're doing is not working the way that we were intended. Okay. And, you know, I look at it at why are we allowing all of this stuff to take place when the solution is as simple can be. You know, we hear
stories. You know, we went through, I think, what is it, 2 or 3 years of the Herbalife and the pyramid scheme, and Bill Ackman was whining that it's a pyramid scheme, and they finally, Herbalife finally won. But if Herbalife was a Ponzi scheme, look, the Ponzi scheme itself was definitely not a Ponzi scheme, because there was a product involved. It might have been a little, it might be a little shady because of the prices, because by the time you get through all the distributorships of what you pay for something, but you were getting at least a product. Now, we as Americans have a choice of what we want to pay for that product. You cannot fault the business model of Herbalife. It's no different than the business model of Avon or of Amway, Shakely, okay, some major corporations. I mean, Mary Kay Cosmetics. These are all, you know, if you call Herbalife a Ponzi scheme, these are all Ponzi schemes. But remember, as Americans, as free people, we have the choice to buy what we want. So we don't have to spend more for Herbalife products if we don't want to. Nobody's got a gun to your head saying, hey, you have to buy this product. You have the choice. You're right. We have freedom of choice in this country. So why was it such a long, drawn-out ordeal when, you know, a Ponzi scheme is the Federal Reserve, where they're printing money to pay off old debt, but they're creating nothing? A Ponzi scheme is Bernie Madoff taking in new investors to pay off old investors and steal money for himself. Those are Ponzi schemes where you put up money for nothing. But here, at least in these, you're putting money up to get something back. Okay, again, and you have the choice. If you believe that it's too expensive, then you can not buy it. You can go buy it somewhere else, because certainly in today's world, I mean, I remember Herbalife was a lot in vitamins, but if you want to take vitamins, you can go to anywhere and buy them, you know, and you don't have to buy them from Herbalife. So why is it that we find it a compelling case to attack a company that's running a fair and equal business model that's trying to create more entrepreneurs? Now, the pyramid scheme, multi-level marketing is what it's called. The multi-level marketing, you know, always fails, and the guys in at the end always end up with it stuck up there, you know what. But that's the chance you take when you get involved. I mean, there's been a million of them. I mean, who remembers the NSA water filter? Now, the idea was good, but the filter was so expensive, okay, that it was, you know, you could have bought the same filter for 10% of the price, but because of all the people that had to get paid off it. But again, remember, you had the choice of whether or not you wanted to buy it. Okay, maybe the sales pitch was too hard. But again, at the end, we have the choice to make. Okay, that, I think, is the bigger problem. Okay, so why is it a Ponzi scheme? It's your choice. You write the check. You give them the check, credit card. So you shouldn't have to think about and worry about, you know, whether or not it's a Ponzi scheme, because it's not, because you are getting goods for money. Okay, you might but we all have overpaid for goods. Have you ever overpaid for anything? I have. So why do we want to bring this into the business world when there's so many other problems in American business today? Why is Herbalife one of them? Okay, that's my issue. Okay, I mean, you know, you've got a gazillion problems in American business, but at least Herbalife is a business that is trying to move forward and, again, involve people into bringing in more people, that is eventually trying to put people back to work. Okay, you know, our government should be so aggressive at trying to put people back to work. Our government should be taking care of our systems. Okay, but they're not. Okay, they're taking care of themselves. And that becomes the next problem that we have to look at. Okay, I mean, you know, when the government has lives by a different set of laws and a different set of rules than you do. Where is the fair and equitable part of that? Okay, I mean, you know, you want to talk about, you know, equitable stuff. I mean, so I have to have Obamacare, but my congressman doesn't. He gets a better health care policy. Where do we go from there when we have all these problems, okay? And we don't let anything change the problems that we have, okay? And we continue like sheep to answer the bell of, oh, it's okay. It's okay. You can screw me, okay? And you can steal from me, and you can do that. And, you know, I'm concerned that, you know, we are letting things slip by that will be unfixable once they've broken everybody. Now, you got to ask yourself, is that what you want as an American, okay, to be in a system that is unfair to the average guy, okay? And that's what we've seen for years, but never more evident than the last 8 or 9 years, okay? Never more evident of the process that we are now seeing, that we are being relieved of almost everything, okay? We are being told where to buy, what to do, where to shop, and we're being pigeonholed into those areas. Now, to me, that becomes a problem. To me, that's, again, taking away what this country was founded on, and that is freedom, okay? And each time they do something, they chip away at our freedom. So, you know, that's where the voting, that's where the election is important. That's where you have to decide, do you like the crap that you get now, or do you want something better? Okay. And that is something that we always have to be aware of, because we as Americans should always want something better. We as Americans should be striving, because we are the best, for the best, especially for all of our people, okay? Because in fact is, we are all equal, okay? And we have to get a chance to make, to give everybody a fair and equal opportunity to succeed. Now, you know, again, some will be more successful. That's great. That's what America's all about. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure when you miss a show, you never want to miss that, but if you miss one, libertytalk.fm gets you the podcast every day, as well as The Sporting Edge. So The Bubba Show and The Sporting Edge, all at libertytalk.fm. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
After 10,000 beers and 28 years, finally figured it out.
I'm just hearing the same old bullshit.
It's about time.
Over again. You're even tired of the same rhetoric and the same people on a regular basis. You know, I watch, you know, TV. I watch some of the hearings. And I don't know. I didn't realize that they think we're just that stupid. I didn't realize that, you know, our leaders believe that we are children and don't have a clue. I didn't realize that the likes of Nancy Pelosi and, you know, Harry Reid and all these other assholes, okay? And again, I'm not picking on one side or the other. They're all the same, okay? I mean, where is it that we have a true business of a country? I mean, after all, we are a business, and without it, you end up with deep problems. And again, these problems are starting to show themselves, and this continual of trying to manipulate and engineer the economy. Do you realize that if we did that in business together, you know, you and I are in the same business and maybe we have the monopoly on the business and we did price fixing, okay, like what the Fed is doing right now and what the central banks around the world are doing right now, because they're price fixing the currency. So it's the same thing, okay? They're manipulating that. Would we be going to jail for that? We'd be out of business for that. Isn't it time that, you know, you can either sink if you're good, or you can drown. You know, don't we have to let failure be a part of it? I mean, you know, one thing I know for sure is you never get better. If you never fail at anything, you haven't tried enough things. If you've never lost money trading, you haven't made enough trades. You know, if you'd never lost, you know, at anything, you haven't learned anything, because nobody wins all the time. And what bothers me is that we don't allow companies that should fail to fail. Okay. You know, why was it that, you know, General Motors was bailed out? Okay. You know, why was it that you could bail out the employees, but why should the corporation have been bailed out? Okay. But we have this cockeyed system where we can continue to believe that we can print money so that we continue to pay pension money. But when do you run out? Okay. How much money can the United States of America print? I don't know the answer. I'm asking. I mean, but what do we think? I mean, at what point, based on some statistics, and I can't vouch for these, okay, and nor do I know, but based on some things I've read, since 1913, the U.S. dollar has been devalued by like 90 or 92 or 95%. Now, what does that mean? I don't really know, okay? But what I do know is that whenever they do print money or devalue currency, they are directly taking money out of yours and mine pocket, because they're taking away your buying power. So even though you have $1 million, okay, $1 million today buys X, that same million tomorrow will buy less than X. So when do we realize that the bottom line is that they're basically stealing out of our pocket? They're price fixing or engineering into something, the same as we're trying to engineer inflation, okay? But don't we have inflation? Aren't we making less money today and paying more for goods and services today? Isn't that also inflation? But of course, that isn't, I guess, the hidden tax of inflation that the government wants. Okay. But it is inflationary to us personally. I mean, I know that my personal life, that I'm paying more for goods and services, making less money. So I can feel the brunt of it. Can anybody else out there feel it? Am I the only one? You know, I say, you know, why can't we again allow markets to price themselves? Why can't we allow everything else to work the way that it's supposed to work? Because that is the system. That is the way that it works in industry. Okay. If you go back in time and you go back to the 1800s, when the farmers were the richest people in the world because they provided the food for the world. Okay, that was not fixed by price. They might have fixed it together. Okay, they might have all gotten together and said, hey, you know, we got to sell this for X amount of dollars and, you know, we can fluctuate. But basically, those markets were determined by what will the market bear. Okay, very similar to today, but today we have much more intervention and we have much more factors. Okay. You know, if it was worth X. Now, again, I'm not blaming only the Fed. I mean, these issues have gone on for more than before the Fed was here. But, of course, central banks were in Europe in the 1600s. So there are all kinds of problems, but the problem should be easily solved. Unfortunately, we've got too many people involved that gather too much benefit from this system that aren't willing to share with everybody else. And that becomes the bigger problem, is we don't get to see the stuff behind the scenes. You know, the wizard, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Well, the reason I don't want us to watch behind the curtain is because they're stealing our money. Okay? They're manipulating a system that basically says, screw the middle class, off with their heads, let them eat cake. We got them, and we control them, and we can do what we want. And that is why the middle class is now the smallest in history, because you continue to put them out of business, out of work, and take away opportunity to be successful. That has to be another problem that has to be solved. But it's almost like you would think that the government and the Federal Reserve and people like that are trying to justify and create a job for themselves. I mean, other than being the lender of last resort, what actually does the Federal Reserve do? What good are they? I guess is more of my question. Okay. What do they do to help us? They don't do anything. In my opinion, they don't do anything. I mean, interest rates would determine themselves through a free market. You know, if I want to borrow money today, if I go to the bank and I can borrow, let's say, 3%, and maybe I can't go to the bank, so maybe I have to borrow from a Prosper or a Cabbage, I may have to pay 10%, or maybe I'm really at credit risk and I got to go to a loan shark and pay 20%. Okay. But those are the markets, and those markets are determined by what does the market bear. And that's the way that we became the wealthiest nation. That is the way we built this nation, is on those very principles. But we have gotten away from those very principles. I don't know about you, but it pisses me off that we have lost the freedom of America. It bothers me that we are no longer free to build and do as we see without some idiot from the government telling me what I can and can't do. That, to me, becomes the bigger problem, because that, to me, is them just sucking more cash out of my pocket, out of your pocket. And I don't know. What do you think? Let me know. This is the Bubba Show. Let me know. This is the Bubba Show. I'm a poet now. Anyways, when you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm will get you the download of the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge. In the meantime, everybody, you have a great day. I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. And I will see you tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day. See you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.